Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
This is Radio Influence. The future is now. This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, we head into a big December of mixed martial arts, both regionally and nationally. And we speak with a great lineup of guests. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, this is it. 1 week to go, and we are done with 2017.
Yeah, it's been a good one, man. It's been a very, very eventful year, but one more to go, and I'm expecting a pretty exciting event here to close out the year.
Well, that's not all. Tim and I are joined by our esteemed colleague. I call him Mr. Photography 101, Alan Poole. Alan, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing great. It's great to be here, man. So much MMA to talk about.
Absolutely. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get on into the news. It was a huge doubleheader last weekend for the UFC. We start out with the Tough 26 finale last Friday night. It resonated from the Park Theater in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, before we get into the card, I have to say, I hate to be a Debbie Downer here, but it was reported that it was the lowest rated UFC event ever on Fox Sports 1. Tim, what was your impression? It was exciting. I mean, it's taking nothing away from the fights, but they're saying it kind of drug a little bit.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear that because it was a very under-touted event, you know, kind of or definitely overshadowed by, you know, the big event that was coming up the day afterward, obviously, with UFC 218. But on top of that, you know, on paper, it was very underwhelming. You had, you know, I think 7 out of 11 fights, you know, let me rephrase that. With so many of, you know, I was going to say that, you know, 7 fights were women, 4 were men, but there were several good women fights on paper, but there were several women fights on paper that were just kind of, you know, 2-1 versus, you know, 3-3, or, you know, just real kind of underwhelming on paper. It wasn't really a fight card that really got your attention. But it really was good. I watched it all, and it was a surprise. The fights were good, and I was entertained by all but one fight. I think that Deonna Bennett fight was real terrible, but beyond that, like, all the fights were pretty exciting and definitely worth the watch.
Well, speaking, you know, with the main event now, of course, that was one bout that was with a competitor that had a ton of fights under her belt. She's a legend, Roxanne Modafferi. She's been around since day one, even back in the golden era, and she's continued to be relevant on and on. And she's such a character. And of course, she dropped the loss, but it was a decision loss. 5 5-minute rounds she goes, but it's Nico Montano who takes that title, that flyweight title. But props to Roxanne Modafferi for a game performance.
Well, you know, it was supposed to be Sajara Eubanks versus Nico, and Sajara had to withdraw with weight cutting issues, and so Modafferi went from fighting against Honchak to fighting against Nico for the belt. You know, so she fought admirably, but you know, in the end, Nico was just too much. And you know, congrats to her on winning that title. I don't know how long she'll hold on to it. You know, I think that no matter who kind of came out of this thing, they're kind of going to be a placeholder with this title. You know, for now, it's Nico, and it was a fairly entertaining fight. I mean, you know, they got in there and mixed it up, but there, I don't think there was any doubt who was going to get the decision. Roxanne just didn't really have many ways to win, it didn't seem like.
Sure, absolutely. Well, in the co-main event, we had Sean O'Malley with a victory over Tarion Ware. That was a three-round decision. Lauren Murphy with a split decision win over Barb Honchak. And then, of course, a man we know very well, Gerald Meerschaert, with a big TKO over Eric Spicely. Talk about these, and does anything else stand out about this card?
Oh, man, Sean O'Malley. I going into it, we'd seen him on the Contender Series, and he was very entertaining and, undefeated against a pretty unproven opposition leading into that fight. And for me, the jury was still kind of out on him. I didn't know for sure that he was the real deal, but he really kind of showed that he is. And Tarion Ware put a great performance against him and was, kind of right there with him. But O'Malley is just so exciting, man. That he's going to just keep gathering fans, and his style is so fun. I can't see him being in a fight that's not great, unless he just takes on an overpowering wrestler that just completely stifles him. But the props to him. That's a guy that is going to get people, he's going to make a lot of fans, and they're really behind promoting him. Lauren Murphy and Barb Honchak was awesome. That was a good fight. They really went to war there. And Lauren Murphy, who wasn't even on the card, she was kind of on standby and was ready to rock there when Eubanks missed weight and Roxanne got moved to the main event. She was ready to step in against Barb and got the win, So, and then of course, props to G3 Meerschaert. I wasn't that worried. In the first round, the Spicely had his back and, for a good bit of it, but Meerschaert defended well, never looked like he was too panicked, and then goes up there and hits a big body kick and finishes Spicely. What do you think about it, Dylan?
As far as O'Malley, man, God, it's the first time I've even seen him. You described him as SpongeBob, right?
No, Sideshow Bob.
Sideshow Bob.
But Alan was over here watching. I was like, make sure you watch this kid. This guy.
Yeah, he's exciting. He was. Everything about him is exciting. The way he looks is exciting. The way he fights is exciting. His attitude, the angles that he takes everything about him is unique, and it's awesome, and it's like turned up loud, so you can see it and you can hear it. I love him.
Well, I also have to give a quick shout out to Jillian Robertson. Of course, she was in the opening bout. She takes a round one submission by armbar over Emily Whitmire. Of course, I called her last fight prior to her going into The Ultimate Fighter. And I got a little cameo there on The Ultimate Fighter. A couple people called me and messaged me. So that was my 10 minutes of fame, minus my work at Valor Fights, of course. Now, moving on.
And that thing several years ago.
What?
I said in that thing several years ago.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We won't talk about that.
Before we move on real quick, that Brett Johns hit a cap slicer in like 30 seconds. We should give him a shout out. That was crazy.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, moving on, the very next night, it was UFC 218, Holloway versus Aldo 2. And, of course, it was live from the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan. And it was stacked from top to bottom. Of course, we saw Max Holloway defend the UFC featherweight title against Jose Aldo. He did that in dramatic form. He finishes the legend in round three. And, of course, we have to talk about the co-main event, Tim.
Man, that fight card was great. Sometimes you get a pay-per-view, and then afterward you feel a little jaded or slighted. But, yeah, this one was well worth it. It was, Holloway really came out and just kind of cemented, the fact that he's the man right now. I think there was a few people that thought maybe the first time might have been a fluke. This time Aldo would get him, but now he puts him down and finishes him again. So, Holloway's the man. That's a guy that, hopefully in the future, we're talks to get some of his team out here in our region competing. And so, look for that to potentially start to take place here in the spring. And we'll talk more about that here coming up. But I think, probably the most lasting impression of the night, though, goes to Francis Ngannou, who has that, knockout from hell. His Alistair Overeem, I thought he might have killed him. That was nuts.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And, of course, it looks like that we're going to be seeing him and Stipe go head-to-head. Ngannou opens as the favorite in this fight over the champion.
Yeah, I think he's hot right now coming off of this KO. I think that I don't know that he's a warranted favorite, but I think the bookmakers know that he's hot right now and expect the fans to get on him, and that's where they see fit for the line. But I expect that it'll probably tighten up. The sharps, I would think, will come in on Stipe. Would it be an obvi? They'll get my money. You know, we'll get that one. What do you think, Alan? What do you think about that knockout?
Chewy, man. So that was the thing that we talked about last week that I said I was most excited for. And I know why. If anyone has played the original Mortal Kombat, Johnny Cage's fatality, he knocks their head off their shoulders, like it goes flying in the air. Like, that's exactly what happened at the event. But Nagano, if you look at his punch, he did not overextend, right? He hit him, it basically lifted him off the ground and blew his head apart. But he was still in position, I guess, is the thing that blew me away. Like, he threw like a Homer Simpson punch that somehow he was never out of position. And to do that against Alistair Overeem and confuse Alistair Overeem, I think he's the next champ.
Yeah, undoubtedly something like off the movie Snatch, okay?
Yes.
Something crazy. Also, of course, we saw Henry Cejudo take out Sergio Pettis. Well, he didn't take him out. It was a decision, unanimous decision. But this one, Eddie Alvarez with that big TKO in round three over Justin Gaethje. That was a war.
Man, we were in the living room just, you know, oohing and aahing, and this card had a lot of fight of the night candidates. It seems like it was one of those cards that it just got off to a bang and everybody just wanted to outdo the next person. And, you know, Gaethje was probably on his – I don't know. Some people think that Eddie might was going to win a decision. I thought Justin was probably on his way to probably winning a decision. And, you know, Eddie really just finished strong as Justin was starting to fade and gets that finish. And that's the first loss ever for Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, what a war. Of course, Tisha Torres takes the victory over Michelle Watterson. Paul Felder with the victory over Charles Oliveira. And anything else that stands out? Oh, and Felice Herrig with the split decision over Courtney Casey. Courtney Casey, someone that we've seen, you know, a lot of back in the day with XFC and so forth. But talk about those and anything else that stands out.
You know, Felder had a little bit of a come from behind also and gets that finish on Oliveira. That was great. But then the Cowboy, Alex Oliveira, and Yancy Medeiros was another fight that was just a knockdown, drag-out war. Both guys dropped the other in the first round, and you thought it was over. And Yancy Medeiros pulls off an upset, come from behind, third round, gets it. That was another really awesome fight. And then you know, beyond that, Alan Crowder fought. He lost to Justin Willis. That's a guy from around here. That was another awesome. That kind of got the night started. Like, all four of the fights were finishes. You know, they were really coming out there and throwing down hard, and so it kind of set the pace for the whole night. It was good.
Undoubtedly will. The UFC doesn't stop there. This Saturday night, we move on. UFC Fight Night 123, Swanson versus Ortega. And, of course, that's going to be at the Save Mart Center in Fresno, California. And that's going to be a great lineup. Of course, Cub Swanson back in action. He's headlined so many of these fight nights, Tim.
Yeah, you know, this is what I imagine will be what will probably should decide who is going to get Holloway next. Cub Swanson always in high action fights, and Ortega has yet to be beaten. Ortega is a guy that's been in some bad spots, but he always kind of finds a way to come out of him and get those wins. So it's a really good, hard, toughest test ever for him here. But a win over Cub Swanson would put him at 13-0 and probably in the conversation for that next shot at Holloway.
Undoubtedly. Now, of course, we have a great lineup, but really what stands out for us, because this is the Valor Hour, are all of the competitors that we know from our region. Now, of course, Scott Holtzman, he's going to be in action. Eric Anders, who we saw recently at Valor Fights, and, of course, Luke Sanders. So we're very excited to see all of these Tennessee, Alabama, you know, Southeast native fighters go into war, and I think they're all very, very hot prospects.
Yeah, well, I'm getting real excited for these cards where, you know, we've got a guy on there that has kind of come through our circuit, but, you know, we get several on here. And, you know, of course, Holtzman's in real tough, you know, against Daryl Horcher. Horcher's got good wrestling, and it was opened at as a slight favorite, as I predicted, like minus 130, minus 135, which is negligible. But, you know, Scott's kind of the more, in my opinion, kind of the more like kind of brutish, just, you know, strong guy. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be a good fight. Scott's good and tough and goes out there and moves forward and puts on entertaining fights. So, and Horcher's got that good wrestling. So we'll see. And Anders is fighting another undefeated guy like himself, I think, from LFA, this Marcus Perez. I don't know a whole lot about him, but, you know, he's undefeated and maybe he has their title or something.
Yeah, too. Not only undefeated, but he's 9-0, just like Eric Anders. It's a very, very evenly matched matchup. So, yeah, very excited to see Eric Anders, man. You know, we've seen Ovince St. Preux, you know, talking about the collegiate athletes. And of course, we're going to talk about it a little bit later. You've got another UT standout that could kind of fall right on into that category as well. But you will definitely be cheering Eric Anders on. And then, of course, I mentioned Luke Sanders back in action again.
Well, Luke was supposed to get the fight a few months back, and his guy – I don't know, it was like got sick or went on his way. I don't know, something happened where his guy fell out a few days early. And so it's cool to get to see him get on this card. And he's against a guy that's got really good striking, but I think it's a good style matchup for Luke. I think he goes up there and gets it done. And, you know, looking forward to it, for seeing all those guys be successful.
Alan, what do you think about these local favorites here in action at UFC Fight Night 123?
As far as I'm concerned, I am team Holtzman, right? So anytime, and don't even let Tim act like he's not a huge Holtzman fan, because Jamie Lee Lurie once told me, when Holtzman's fighting, you don't talk to Tim. So he's trying to act like he's neutral over here. But man, yeah, that's where it's at for me, man. I'm supporting him. I'm not as familiar with some of the other locals, but I do know Scott, and I'm cheering for him.
Undoubtedly. Well, that does it for UFC news, but that is not all of the national stuff we've got going on, because this Friday it's Invicta FC 26. And of course, that's going to be at the Park Theater in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's going to be a tremendous card. One thing that really stands out, of course, is Mackenzie Dern is going to be making her Invicta debut. And so I'm very excited about that. But also, it's Emily Prince. She's going to be in action. And of course, we all know Emily very well.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I've tuned in and watching Invicta card, you know, but I'm definitely going to be tuned in Friday rooting for Emily Prince from KMAA here. She will be opening the card, from what I gather. She'll be first. So taking on a girl that is really not a lot of information on. She's a 1-0 amateur. Looks like she trains with some good people out west. So I'm sure it'll be, you know, an exciting fight. All Emily's fights have been really exciting to watch. So, you know, everybody tune in and root for Emily Prince there. And, you know, the rest of the card, there's a lot of prospects, you know, a lot of up-and-comers there. And with the UFC starting to open up more in more divisions, you know, you're going to see a lot of these ladies getting that call here soon, I'd say.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Well, moving on, let's talk a little bit about Valor Fights 47. Of course, it's going to be January 6th there in Knoxville at the Knoxville Coliseum. It doesn't get any better than that, Tim, any bigger. And so we wanted to make a few announcements here. Of course, one that really stands out, let's talk about the pros first, and this is going to be a big announcement. Keith Olsen, who of course we saw in the finals of the UMAF National Tournament earlier this year. He's making his pro debut. He'll be taking on Alex Riggs, who we saw last month at Valor 46 with a win in his pro debut over a very pedigreed David Lewis. Talk about this matchup and in the heat that's going to come with it.
Man, I think it's going to be an exciting fight no matter you know, which way it goes. Riggs really, it was his first time fighting on Valor in Nashville about a month ago, like you said, and he really came out there and shined, you know, got a knockout win, like you said, over a very tough and pedigreed David Lewis. And so, you know, he's got some great momentum right now against Keith Olsen, who had just made it to the finals of the UMAF Nationals back in May. So, you know, Keith is another, you know, from the East Tennessee, one of the brightest 155 prospects. So, It's one of those fights where, you know, I think it's going to be all action anywhere it goes. Keith's very creative and aggressive on the ground. Of course, has that traditional martial arts background as well. Riggs shows that he's got pop in this last one. Again, finishing David Lewis that's not easy, you know?
No, and that reminded me, if you've ever seen the movie Raging Bull, when Sugar Ray and Jake LaMotta, where he punched Jake LaMotta up against the ropes and he just unleashed a barrage of strikes and LaMotta's hanging off the ropes. It was similar to that. You know, yeah. David Lewis did not want to go down until Alex Riggs finally put him down. So it will be, you know, very exciting. These are two contrasting stylists. And so I'm very excited to see this one go down. Now, on the amateur side, we got some more news. We're going to tease one more fight here. We're going to see AJ Johnson. And of course, for those of you that don't follow football, this is a man that is very renowned in Knoxville for his, you know, he plays for University of Tennessee, or did, and was really a standout. He'll be facing CJ Baker. Tim, you just put this one together.
Yeah, man, we're real excited for it. That's going to be the debut of Alexander A.J. Johnson, training out of Shield Systems now, a former standout linebacker for the University of Tennessee Volunteers. And he is, you know, just a specimen. We're going to find out, you know, if he can fight or not. But, you know, training with the group that he's training with over at Shield Systems, I have no doubt that they will be have him prepared. Ben Harrison, top coach. And not the type of guy that lets his guys fight before they're ready to fight, you know. And so you add in that that, you know, world class elite athleticism that he brings to the table, and he immediately puts himself kind of in the front of the pack, if you will, as far as this local region goes. Really excited. I met him kind of in depth today for the first time in person. He's a very engaging, outgoing guy, and he is pumped. He's going to be taking on CJ Baker, who is out of the Chattanooga area. He is another young up-and-comer. He'll be making his debut as well. Very tall. CJ's like 6'6 or 6'7, and so wrestled at East Ridge High School down there. So, you know, AJ's not jumping in there and taking a schlub here for his first fight. He's fighting a guy who's probably going to rank towards the top in height of most of the heavyweights that we've got, you know. Alan Poole has been over there at Shields taking pictures and kind of getting to know these fellas. I'll turn it over to him. He was really impressed with AJ.
Yeah, man. AJ is what you call a super athlete, right? So for those of you who aren't familiar, he was one of the best football players in the entire country. He was a linebacker, right? They like to crunch. But the linebackers, I think, in particular, those in the free safeties, are generally the most athletic people on the field. They can do everything, right? And I'm not going to say who this happened to, okay? Now I'm not saying that this is in reference to training over at Shield and watching him. Look, he just started, okay? He's not GSP, right? Okay, he's just now learning, but he's a super athlete. Well, anyways, while they were rolling, him and this other person, just one twitch movement was all it took for AJ to sling the person basically across the floor and be right back up on his feet. And I could not believe my eyes. I looked over at the person that it happened to. That person couldn't believe it either. Then I looked up at Ben Harrison, his coach, and he was just laughing. And he said, "That's not normal, is it?" And so I'm just saying, this guy is going to bring something special, and he's a fireball. He gets it. He's got the crazy hair. He's got muscles for days, man. And he's funny. He's entertaining.
Well, you know, I made the correlation between him and Eric. Of course, we mentioned Eric Anders earlier, and also to OSP. This guy is going to go right down that lineage, and he could potentially be that next breakout star. So I'm super, super excited for that. Now, that being said, that does it for the news, which means it is time for this week's Valor Hour Q&A segment. We have a great list of questions from our listeners this week. So without further ado, Tim, let's get it on.
Let's do it.
All right. First question. Who do you want to see Max Holloway fight next?
Oh, man. I got to say, you know, the winner of Ortega and Swanson, makes a lot of sense. If not Frankie Edgar, then, you know, I don't know that Ortega or Swanson is the guy to beat him, but I guess it probably makes the most sense.
If you had to lay some money on it right now, who do you think it's going to be? Which of those two?
Oh, gosh. That, you know, that would be pretty much like gambling on who wins this weekend, which I will be. I'm going to – my brain tells me that, like, Swanson is on this level and that Ortega's not ready for, but Ortega just – he doesn't know how to lose, so I'll probably go with Ortega.
All right. Moving on. Is Francis Ngannou going to be the UFC heavyweight champ in 2018? And is he the brightest heavyweight prospect you've seen? Or were you impressed more by guys like Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez, and Shane Carwin?
You know, I've got to say there is a good chance at some point in 2018 he could be the champion. I'm not going to say for sure that he beat Stipe right out of the gate, but I'd say there's a good chance in 2018 at some point he could be champion. I will say that he is the one of the brightest prospects that I have seen in a moment, just because he's went out there and making highlights, you know, and murking fools. But it's different kind of because people didn't really know who he was till he got here and started doing that. And he's such a specimen. Whereas those guys like, Lesnar, they had that mystique kind of coming in because you knew who they were. And then they go out there and their performance is not as – It's not as exciting, if you will, or dynamic as
shocking. Yeah,
you know. So I think that now I am more excited about him than them. You know, but when those guys first came on the scene, there was more hype behind them. So you really just wanted to see what they did.
All right, fair enough. Moving on. Bellator 190 this week in Italy will be broadcast via tape delay. How much do you think that this affects viewership in 2017? And will we see Valor fights on a platform outside of Flow Combat in the next 2 to 3 years?
Man, I think that it certainly hurts to not be live. You know, I think that when they do these events over in Europe and they do it essentially the day before, just in the world we live in, it's so hard to avoid spoilers for 24 hours, you know, before they actually air it on tape delay. I have, you know, I guess I'm like in the industry or whatever. So I'm like on social media and stuff. I've got more people that are apt to spoil it for me, I guess, you know, than like average Joe. But I have to imagine it hurts. Viewership, no doubt, especially when we're talking about like European cards where, you know, over half of the TV lineup are people that average layman fan doesn't know.
Sure. Well, you know that, but that being said, it could be that those European fans are watching there, in Europe, and they all know them, and you know, Bellator are trying to build a whole different faction of their product over there. So, you know, we see it, of course, from the U.S. point of view. Sure. And in North America and so forth. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. It's very hard to get motivated with a tape-delayed event. Okay, moving on. And this one's I see here is a catch-22. What can Casey Oxendine tell us that might surprise us about JSP, and who are the other two top prospects on Strikefest 2, in your opinion? Well,
only Casey can tell us what Casey knows. So. I don't know what Casey knows. So
this is supposed to be Tim Loy's Q&A, but I'll step in for this one. I'll say that the biggest thing with JSP is that he's in a good spot. He's in a good spot right now as far mentally, emotionally. I think that and I think it weight wise is it the it being a lightweight division is a much better place position for him. And so I think he's going to go out there and have a lot of fun. He's had a lot of fun in his last two fights, and there were a lot at stake there in both those Bellator events. And this time he gets to come back home again after Talladega and put on a show right before Christmas. It's going to be an early Christmas present for the fans. And so I just think you're going to see him have a whole lot of fun, and you're going to see maybe him try some things and be a little more dynamic. And I just think it's going to be a much more entertaining package than you've ever seen before. before. Now, as far as who the other two top prospects are on Strikefest 2, I'm going to have to go ahead and go with the main event. I'm going to have to go with Nathan Williams and Stephen New. I think both of these guys have the opportunity to really break out here and perform on another level. You know, they have very contrasting styles. I'm so excited for this fight, and I think it is duly the main event of this show of Strikefest 2. And with that being said, I'm going to move on and back to Tim Loy.
All right.
With Valor 47 going down January 6th in Knoxville, do you expect any more fighters than usual missing weight due to the holidays? And has anyone who usually wouldn't ask for a catch weight asked for it this time?
Oh, that's a good one. I think that the majority of the pros that we've got booked are very professional. Yeah, I don't really expect a whole lot of people to have weight issues going into this. And honestly, we haven't had a lot of people asking for higher weights. You know, there's a few people that are going a little below what you would expect, I guess you would say, coming out of the holidays going a little bit further below what they normally do. So, I guess as of right now, the answer is no. I don't really expect to have too many weight issues, and we didn't have a whole lot of fighters asking for catch weights.
All right. Well, final question. When will voting open for Valor's year-end awards, and what are your goals for the organization in 2018 and beyond?
Oh, man. We should be starting up on year-end awards right after Strikefest. So I would guess middle of the week to the end of the week after. So right around the Christmas weekend, I'd say we'll probably start figuring that out. And as far as 2018, man, we're just looking to, get bigger and bigger and better and better. We're keep this upward trajectory going and expand into some different markets potentially. You know, we've got three states, covering three states in the first 3 months. So that's ambitious to say the least, but all three should be big events in big venues. So that's how we are starting 2018 and how we intend to finish.
Undoubtedly. Well, I'll say this. I think that the Valor Hour will be shoe-in for Podcast of the Year, undoubtedly. That being said, that does it for another Valor Hour Q&A segment. Now, remember, fans, send in those questions, and Tim will happily respond to each and every one of those. And with that being said, it is time to move on to another great lineup of interviews. We are joined by Shamir Hella Kitty Peshua. She is a long-standing veteran of the Valor Fights promotion and beyond. Shamir, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. Hey, Tim. Hi, Alan.
What's up?
Hey, always good to talk to you, Shamir. It's been a while since we've seen you in action now. The summer, I guess, is the last time that we had you in the cage. Talk a little bit about what's been going on, what's been happening in Hella Kitty's world.
Well, after my fight for you guys in Bristol at the Bar Battles, it was a fight of the night. It was a great fight.
It was awesome.
I had a fight scheduled for June up in Virginia for another promotion, and I actually ended up injuring my arm pretty badly, so had to take a little bit of time off to let that heal. I guess nobody really suggests fighting with a jacked up arm, so I let that heal and been I never skipped a day of training. I was still there working on footwork, had head movement, everything that I could do with one arm, so I kept training. Of course, just stayed ready. And then I fought last month in Virginia, or in October in Virginia. And I love Valor fights. And that was an amateur fight. You guys know that I would much rather fight for you guys than just about anybody else. It's always been a good promotion. It's something I've seen, from the ground up. So I really love being a part of this promotion.
Well, speaking of being part of this promotion, you have a bit of an announcement to make. So I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag, no pun intended.
Well, for everyone who's been patiently waiting and all of my fans and supporters that have stood by. I will be making my pro debut for Valor Fights January 6th at the Civic Coliseum, which is my hometown, Knoxville. So it's super exciting. I'm fighting a tough striker chick named Natalie King. So I expect it to be, as like all of my fights, you know, something that every fan, no matter who you're rooting for, is going to enjoy.
All right.
Well, we're really excited for that. I can say, you know, I've been trying to line up a pro debut, a debut for Shamir now for, man, you know, the better part of, you know, the last 6-7 months, if not longer. And it's been tough. I don't know why. It seems like kind of the landscape of our, you know, kind of entry level debuts for females. It used to be real heavy at 35 and 45. And now it seems like it's shifted and it's not so heavy there. And we've got a bunch of, you know, 115s, 125s. But, you know, after the process finally kind of wound down, we found Natalie King, and she'll be coming out of South Carolina, professional boxer. She's already had like 7 professional boxing matches. But Casey and I actually called her pro debut against Ashley Samples. And, you know, it was a fight that didn't really go how we expected it to go, because the girl having such a boxing background was kind of grindy. Wasn't she, Casey?
Undoubtedly. I mean, she's a tough girl. And I'll say that, you know, we sort of, like you mentioned, we sold her short. We thought that Ashley would take it. But she came out and she started to push and she never quit. She has great cardio. Like you mentioned, she has good striking and, you know, she's a gritty competitor. And I think it's going to make for an amazing show there inside the Coliseum. It doesn't get any better than the Coliseum there in Knoxville.
Yeah, and you know, Shamir.
I agree. I always want to fight tough girls. Always want to fight tough girls. I don't ever underestimate an opponent, and I think, you know, you guys know that. And I know she's a tough chick. You know, you can't be a pro boxer and not be tough. You know, there is no ground stuff. There's just standing and banging at that point. You know, and so I expect the best of her that we've ever seen, and I expect the best of myself that I've ever seen.
So, Shamir, we are also joined by Alan Poole, and he's a guy that you know very, very well. He's been around the community there at KMAA, always takes the great shots, the good pictures that we see online. Alan, any words or questions for Hella Kitty?
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic that I am speaking with Hella Kitty. I just saw Hella Kitty earlier today. We did a photo shoot. I didn't even know that we're both doing the podcast later on. But man, I got some great shots of Shamir. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Shamir. She's just a great human being. She's just a good person. So root for her. Be on her side. Follow her. Give them all your. Do your thing there, Shamir. You promote yourself. You can't have me promoting because nobody will follow you.
Well, I did this.
Alan, you're great.
After watching this girl, Casey, and we know Shamir doesn't take steps backwards generally. You know, Shamir comes forward, and this girl comes forward. So I think we're going to get a good action fight out of this.
I think it's going to be amazing. Now, I've got to ask you this as well, and this is something I like to talk about because I'm a mark when it comes to pro wrestling. Firstly, are we going to get the future mayor in there? Is Kane going to be in the house to watch this fight? And also, tell the fans a little bit. I was really intrigued because I grew up watching wrestling, the old school stuff. But, you know, you've told me some stories, you know, of course, how your whole family was involved in professional wrestling, you and Mr. Fuji. Tell us a little story or two about that, because that's really, it hits home for me.
I love wrestling, but the moment I saw it, I knew that they were actors. Right. That's what my dad would tell me. He was like, well, they're all actors, because I would see the guys, you know, eating egg salad sandwiches and just hanging out, you know? So I was like, okay, well, this is, you know, you guys just beat each other up and now you're cool with each other. And, you know, there was a lot of explaining for, you know, some of my earliest memories are of pro wrestling. And all the guys just got a kick out of it because I really loved just sitting right in the front row. And I was like, I'm going to grow up to be a wrestler. I was like, this is going to be awesome. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I guess I was about 10. It was 1995. I was about 10. And we were attending one of his events. And he asked me if I had seen UFC. And at this point, UFC was about 2 years old. And I was like, yeah, I want to do that now. And so I was like really excited about it. So he's supported me this whole time. you know, he said, well, I've always told people that you're going to grow up and be in the UFC. And so when he did come in corner before, he was very ecstatic to do it. I haven't told him about this fight because obviously it wasn't announced till today, but I'm sure that he will be there if at all, if it's possible for him. I know he has a crazy schedule, but he loves it. We actually didn't have like gloves big enough to fit his hands last time for the corner. So they were like stretched on there. I felt so bad for the guy. So I've ordered some bigger gloves just in preparation. But Mr. Fuji, you know, I've worked at the mall and so did he, and we would go watch movies together and eat frozen yogurt. I mean, there's a lot of wrestling ties there, but I think that it really helped ground me out in wanting to grow up to be in combat sports, because a lot of people say wrestling's fake, and I understand that the outcome might be written and the stories might be written, but that's an incredibly athletic sport. And there's no way that you could do that sport and not, and it be fake. Cause I mean, the slams are real, everything like that is real. So I always wanted to do something in a ring. And then I saw the cage and I was like, oh, I want to fight in that thing. It was like a steel cage match. Come on. All we need is some barbed wire.
Very, very cool. Now, so real quick, I want to give you the opportunity to go ahead and give some shout outs where they're due. All the friends, teammates, family, and so forth that have helped you get to where you're at. And then also, we need your social media plugs. We need to know where to find you, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and beyond.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Casey. I would like to, of course, give a shout out to my husband, Tim. He puts up with me through weight cuts. He helps me meal prep. He helps me drill. I mean, just absolutely amazing. All of my teammates at KMA are really incredible. We've got an entire stable full of fighters that are ready to go pretty much at any time through all weight classes. I want to give a special shout out to Emily, who's fighting for Emily Prince, who's fighting in Invicta this Friday, getting her pro debut, 8-day notice kind of thing. Thanks to my coaches, Eric and Joey, for always just pushing me. Thanks to my nutritionist, Eddie, over at the health shop. I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be making 35. I wouldn't be making 45. Wouldn't be where I'm at without him. As far as social media goes, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you can find me by my first name and typing in Hella Kitty. So if you type in Shamir Hella Kitty, you're finding me. You're finding me on Google. You're finding me on even Reddit. You're finding me pretty much anywhere. I've really started loving the Reddit. I've started posting a lot on r/MMA, and being able to post on those subreddits are great. And I've gotten a lot of support out of worldwide support out of going on Reddit and Instagram. So come follow me. I post either funny stuff, nerdy stuff, or gym stuff. So if you like those things, you'll like my media pages.
You heard it here first. It's breaking news as Shamir Hella Kitty Peshewa makes her professional MMA debut January 6th at Valor Fights 47. Shamir, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We are joined by Emily Prince. She prepares to make her professional MMA debut this Friday night at Invicta 26. And she faces California prospect Kay Hansen. Emily, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I'm happy to be here.
We're excited to watch you in your Invicta debut this Friday. You know, it kind of came on short notice. I know they added a handful of fights there. I guess it was right about 2 weeks out, maybe a little bit more. It was you and a couple more that got added. Kind of talk about, you know, kind of how it came to be. You know, you're already in camp for a fight around the same time. So, you know, you were training to fight, change of opponent, obviously, on a bigger promotion. Just talk a little bit about the last couple of weeks and how all this has kind of come together.
Well, the last couple of weeks, in all honesty, have been a whirlwind. They have been an adventure. But when an opportunity like this arises, it's my job to rise to the occasion. And I have tried my very best to do that. So tried to uphold the KMA legacy and embark on this new territory that is Invicta, that is professional MMA, and I'm enjoying the process every step of the moment. I'm just in the moment and loving it.
Emily, we have watched you from the inception of your career. Of course, you have a martial arts background. We watched the beautiful judo on display. And I will say this, that's one thing about KMAA is they cultivate their fighters. And so you had your wins, you had your losses, but it was all part of that learning curve. And then, of course, we saw you with a big victory in your last outing. And I know that had to have something to do with that call to Invicta. You know, talk about your progression throughout your career and what you've got in store for Kay Hansen.
Well, I think that my progression in my MMA career and what I have in store for Kay Hansen is the same thing. It's really just me. It's just fine tuning my tools and using my resources that I have to the best of my ability. So my background, like you had mentioned, is judo and taekwondo. Still figuring out where those pieces fit in this new game has been kind of the part of my progression from day one. Like, how do I become the best version of me? How do I make my taekwondo a functional MMA strategy? Or how do I incorporate the judo in there and make it work and make it flow and look fluid and just flow with it? So that's kind of been the progress up until this point, and it's going to continue to be that. Like I said, it's just going to be more refining and more processed every step of the way. So as far as Kay Hansen goes, it's going to be just me and what I want to do and what I feel is right in the moment.
So we've got Alan Poole here with us, a man you know very well. He's been there at KMA quite often, taking some great photographs and so forth. He's a huge fan, of course. Any questions for Emily here on the Valor Hour?
Yes, I do. Hey, what's up, Emily? How you doing?
Hey, Alan. I'm doing great.
Great. Hey, you know, I've said this before, but you are one of the few fighters that I actually get sick to my stomach before you fight. Like, I really, like, I've probably almost broken my camera in my hand, like, squeezing it so hard. Just because, you know, you and Shamir and Ricker, you know, y'all took me in and let me take photographs. So y'all gave me my start, which I've always appreciated. Now, you're Invicta. Holy cow. I mean, I want to be there. I wish I could be there. So are there good photographers there?
You know, the media here has been very friendly. Today was a media day, so I got to go out there. And I think everywhere we went, the overall theme was the fun bunch is here. So I think it was our goal to make them laugh as much as we were laughing, and we succeeded in that goal. So, like I said, the entire media crew here, and not just the media crew, I mean, it's really been everyone on board with Invicta, is extremely professional and friendly and makes this journey just one that is remarkable. So Invicta has their stuff together, guys. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Undoubtedly.
Sorry, Casey.
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask, of course, they are known. Invicta is known for those weigh-in ceremonies and like some of the elaborate costumes and things like that we've seen past. Do they have anything like that in store for you?
Well, we discussed today the possibility of doing that, but we did not come prepared for that. So, I mean, we might be able to pull off something last minute, but if we do, it would be a surprise. I'm not going to give away anything if that is the case.
We'll talk a little bit about, you know, as much as you can, your opponent. Not a whole lot of, you know, information and footage on her out there. She's actually probably got, you know, fewer amateur bouts than you, but, you know, also making her professional debut in the West Coast. You know, get us up to speed on her.
I don't really know too much about her. Like you said, there's not much information on there, but even if there was, delving into my opponents has never been a big part of my process. I trust my coaches, Eric Turner and Joey Zonar. So they kind of evaluate the situation and they game plan and see where I'm at and what I need to do. And so I follow that and I trust that process. But I don't get caught up in who they are, where are they from. At the end of the day, I'm going to know who she really is when I step in the cage with her. And she's going to know who I really am. And hopefully we put on a good show and everyone gets entertained. So whether we're new at the debut for the professional MMA, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we want to put on a good show and hope everyone sees who we really are.
All right. Well, real quick, I'm going to give you a chance to give your shout outs where they're due. Of course, you know, we need to know where we can find you, all of your social media plugs, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so forth.
I am on Instagram as mem.prince_MMA. And then I am on Twitter, and that's capital E, capital M, capital P, R-I-N-C-E, _MMA. And then I'm on Facebook as Emily Prince, MMA athlete. So, and I spell my name a little funny, so E-M-I-L-E-E. If you Google that on anything, I think it should come up. But again, I'm not the social media queen. It's an area that I'm working on. So I would love any support that anyone's willing to give in those directions is greatly appreciated. As far as sponsors go, 75 Clothing has phenomenal. They have been absolutely the best as far as helping me with my needs for the banner and clothing wise. They're a great clothing company. Little Valley Haven, you guys are awesome. Their products are awesome. It's a good local company with really neat stuff. Overholt's Karate School, they are ones that are loyal to the KMA athletes, and they just support us in this dream and this process. And then all of my teammates at KMA, you guys know as well as I do the athletes that we put out there. So they're all rock stars, and there's a whole slew of them, too many to name on here. And then just friends and family. You guys are awesome. I love you guys all, and feel very blessed, very honored.
Emily Prince returns to action this Friday night at the epitome of women's mixed martial arts fighting events. I'm talking about Invicta 26. Get your tickets and watch it live on UFC Fight Pass. Emily, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Y'all have a good evening.
We are joined by JSP Jonathan Pierce. He made waves throughout the summer of 2017 as he scored two big wins at the Bellator Monster Energy Series. And he returns to action December 16th at Strikefest 2 as he faces Nick Haymaker Baker. JP, thank you for joining us.
What's up, guys?
Hanging out, man. Getting ready to go into this last week before Strikefest. You know, it's the first time I think we've spoken to you since your second Bellator win. Before we move forward into, you know, what we're looking at next week, if you want to kind of get everybody up to speed that isn't aware, you know, Jonathan beat a very highly touted Omar Johnson, who's like 8-1, in his home area on the Bellator NASCAR show at Talladega, and that was you know, a great fight. Pierce was, you know, started to really pull ahead in the second round and got that finish. Talk a little bit about that fight, and would you say that was the biggest win of your career so far?
You know, I believe it was. I believe coming back from the loss when I fought Demir and everybody had picked me to lose as Bellator and as 100 degrees outside, that was the best win for me just because I feel like I conquered myself. And then I went on to fight a dude that I believe Omar never been finished, and, you know, I just decided to start finishing my fights, and then I started winning them, and that was like my goal, my personal goal to set and to finish everything, to work out and finish, and I went out there and did the job and gave everybody what they wanted.
So, you know, obviously that's surely got, you know, Bellator looking at you now. What needs to happen now for you to get back in there? You know, you got to put a couple more wins together. They've got to be, you know, impressed with these last two, which was, you know, both finishes over highly touted prospects coming off of three straight losses. So it looks like you've really kind of turned things around here.
You know, my last fight that I lost, I wouldn't want to lose a fight any other way. It went all the way in his hometown, and he went on to do Contender Series and did pretty well, actually. And, you know, I feel like I'm fighting prospects, and like Matt Hughes says, I believe he said, anyone who fights and doesn't ever have a loss hasn't really been tested. So, and I do believe that because I feel like people patent their records, and then when they get in a tough fight, they don't know how to perform. When I'm trying to take tough fights every time, keep the intensity up.
We'll talk. We'll move on forward into. What we have coming up here. We got Alan Poole with us tonight, and I'll turn it over to him. See what you got for JSP.
All right, JSP, what's going on, man?
Not much, just chilling.
Hey, so I have a cool backstory to this whole you and Nick Baker situation, because I think I was there for some of that drama. I hadn't met you yet. This is the first time I met you, by the way. The very first time I met you, I think we're at 50. We're at one of the bazillion events that we went to last year. And someone said, hey, it'd be a great idea for Nick Baker and JSP to face off, because you guys were expected to fight sometime in the future. So I was like, all right, that's cool.
It was at 50.
It was at 50?
I think so.
Okay, so then I was like, okay, great. I'll get a good shot here. And so you guys face off. And then that switch inside of JSP switched. He just, like, I could tell, like, you were, like, you just, like, I thought at the time, it looked like you, that flip switch, like, you went into the red zone, you know what I mean? And I put my hand on your arm to say, hey, man, hey, like, chill out, man. And you looked at me like you wanted to kill me. And and that was, that's when we first met, and I didn't like you at all after that. But since then, we've gotten to know each other, and you're actually a good dude. So I just thought I had to get that backstory. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. He was running his mouth, and I was like, man, like, I can't hit him, but I'm just going to stand here, you know, and be as mean as possible and let him feel it, because that's all I can really do, you know. I can't put my hands on him. So
a little bit of backstory.
It was a good moment for me to impose my will a little bit more than I'm going to do on December 16th, so.
A little bit of backstory for those that are uninitiated in, you know, exactly the what we're talking about here. Pierce has got a fight coming up next weekend at Strikefest 2. He'll be taking on Nick Baker, as Casey kind of alluded to earlier. Nick Baker, 4-2 out of this area as well. I was saying earlier, off the record, I guess, it's kind of crazy that you two haven't already crossed paths as many fights as you've both had, as long as you've both been fighting. You know, and I will say, you know, Nick has fought kind of, you know, everyone around here. It's really crazy that y'all haven't already crossed paths. But, you know, there's obviously no love lost between you guys. The trash talk has been going on for months. You've been booked to fight before, and things have not happened, to where they came to fruition. But seems like we're going to get it on here next week. And, is this animosity legit, or are you guys kind of talking?
Yes.
Honestly, like, I've never had a problem ever with somebody, and I've never talked ever about a fight, but this guy, like, especially picked me out and was like, nah, dude, nah. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, this guy is nowhere on my level. Like, he dodged me as an amateur. You see what I'm saying? Like, and he can say whatever he wants, but how many amateur fights did he have? I'm a 30 in the local area, so he's fought everybody, like you said. But I fought all the tough dudes. So, you know, I just feel like a boss is coming up on a boss, and it's just going to be, fireworks, man. It's going to be like an early Christmas present for everybody.
Well, yeah, JP, if anybody has a question on whether this beef is real, you come see me. Like, I'm telling you, man, you can feel the tension between the two. I knew I had to get in between them. Like, don't leave these two in a room together. Because one of them is coming out, one of them isn't.
Well, JP, you've been inside the cage with him before sparring, but it was a long, long time ago, right?
It was right after I broke my jaw, right before I fought Anthony Morgan. I literally trained 8 days for that fight, but like I was running, I had a personal trainer, I was hitting the bag, I had a bag in my basement, I was doing pull-ups, like I was doing the JSP, you know. And I went out there and did awesome in my comeback after I broke my jaw. And that was 6 months after I had the surgery. And it was like it never even happened. And people don't even pay attention to that. And that's back at my second fight, you know what I'm saying? So everyone that I fought is experienced. And I'm just like, I'm not looking through them. Everyone has a puncher's chance. and you can't rush it, but I'm just gonna time it, you know, and it's gonna be brilliant. You know, I've done arena combat 2-on-2. This is one dimensional to me, so like, I don't know. He ain't never done no arena combat.
So, but JP, you know, can we expect to see, you know, I think to people that are familiar with both of you guys, you know, on paper, that, you know, he's known to be a slugger. He's known to be a banger. He is known to be susceptible to submission. You're known to have great wrestling, great gas tank, you know, draw guys into those later rounds, and you just keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, are we going to see you test out the stand up and throw down to this guy, or you know, are you going to stick with what you know and just kind of go in there and get him out of there?
You know, I'm going to go out there and just do whatever happens, because as soon as I sit here and try to devise a game plan, it's not going to go that way, and then it's going to mess with my mind. So I just go out there and I have fun every single time, and dude, it's been good lately, so let's roll the dice one more time and see what happens.
JP, real quick, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give some shout-outs where they're due, all the friends and family that have helped you along the way. And, of course, we need your social media plugs, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so forth.
I want to thank everyone at Oxendine. I want to thank Dustin Walden. I want to thank everyone at Deep Evil. I want to thank all my personal trainers leading up to this, Sean Dunn. And I'm going to give some of my shout-outs. I have JSP. MMA is my Instagram. And Jonathan JSP Pierce is my Facebook fight page.
JSP Jonathan Pierce returns to action in next week, December 16th at Strike Fest 2, as he faces Nick Haymaker Baker. Get your tickets now. You don't want to miss this one. JP, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Well, that closes out a great lineup of interviews, as well as another episode of The Valor Hour. Remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, and please remember to share this broadcast. We return right here next week to recap the biggest combat sports news from across the globe. Thanks to our great host of guests this week, and as well as Alan Poole, our special guest host. For myself, Casey Oxendine, and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, this has been the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
Hi, this is David Penzer, former TNA and WCW ring announcer, inviting you to join me on my podcast, Sitting Ringside. We're going to talk to the stars of professional wrestling today and yesteryear. Also, talk to those behind the scenes that have some awesome stories to tell. You're not going to want to miss it. Sitting Ringside with me, David Penzer, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.